hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running here on a Wednesday on the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we want to thank you for tuning in to this program, and thank WMIE for carrying the good news of Jesus Christ throughout Brevard County, and thank you for your support of this wonderful radio station. I believe there's a spring offering fundraiser that is coming up any day now, and so if you have not supported WMIE, you might want to consider doing that. Amazingly enough, electricity still has to be paid here at the radio station, the same way it does at your house, the same way it does at your workplace. And there are unexpected expenses that arise. Like last year, they had to put in a new transmitter, I believe, and that was quite pricey. So your support of the radio station is something that is greatly appreciated, and we are very thankful for it as well. So today we are going to go back into the Word of God. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 3. If you are just tuning in to the Refresh radio program for the first time, I'm Pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're at 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. Our phone number is 321-454-4263. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We exist to be a blessing to God, to our families, to our church, and to our community. And so we are very thankful that God has enabled us to do that. Our ministry reaches around the globe through our missionary network. And we're excited about what God is doing in that regard as well. So our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning, Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we have Sunday school at 9:30, and we'd love to have you come and be a part of some of those services. So we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We started with the Beatitudes, and we've gotten all the way up to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so that launched us into what does seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what does that look like? And so we have launched out into a little study here on what are the things that God tells us to seek. Okay, so we seek the kingdom of God. We seek his face. We seek his hand. We seek his righteousness. We've talked about seeking justice and peace. And right now we are seeking truth and the things that are partnered with truth. And I want you to know that even though society has changed and no longer necessarily believes in absolute truth, God still believes in absolute truth. And so we just came through a little study on that truth is partnered with sanctification. It is partnered with mercy. It is partnered with sincerity and faithfulness and justice and peace. And even though we've already talked about seeking righteousness, I want you to know that truth and righteousness are also partnered together. So we're not going to spend, you know, a tremendous amount of time on righteousness, seeking righteousness, but only because we just recently did that. But I believe that as we go through these verses, that we will share some things that we may not have communicated in our recent broadcast on seeking righteousness. So I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 4. This is a passage about Solomon, and it says, "Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So we're just going to launch into this, that along with truth, there is also righteousness and uprightness of heart. There are people who know how to do right when they are being watched. So when I was in business before I was pastoring full-time, and in every department store that I managed, every retail environment, there was always a communication network, and it went something like this. The president of the company, or the vice president of the company, or the regional manager, they're in the area. They are coming through, so you all need to be prepared. They just left our store, don't know where they're going next, but they're in the area, and they're probably going to be coming to see you soon. And I, due to some business connections that I have now, I know that stuff like that still takes place. And there are a lot of people who know how to do the right thing when someone is watching. So one time I had a manager that was over me, and he said, okay, while the regional manager is here, you need to make sure that you look busy. And so I was going around and doing the things that he told me to do, and the regional manager said, don't do that. It impacts the shoes in a negative manner. And it's like, oh, nobody ever told me that. And, you know, what was kind of interesting was it was a product that we sold, and he was saying, don't use that on shoes. There are a lot of people who know how to behave or act in righteousness and in truth when they are being observed. But God has a different standard. He is looking for us to have a heart of uprightness, a heart of truth, a heart of righteousness, that we know that everything we say and everything we do is in the audience of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he knows the thoughts that you think. He knows the intentions that you have in your heart. There are a lot of times that there are miscommunications between people because they see them do something and they just automatically project a negative intention that person had in mind when they did that or said that. And you see that a lot where people say something, and it happens to me. I oftentimes listen to the rebroadcast, and I go back and I said, well, that's not what I meant to say right there. You know, I'll substitute an incorrect word for a correct word, or sometimes I even, you know, make up a word. I'm from Oklahoma. We get to do that. Sometimes I invert things, and it's not like I'm trying to do that. The intention of my heart is to communicate one thing, but, you know, there's a little bit of pressure here. It's not necessarily that it is an intentional thing. It's not necessarily that it's a biological degradation or an intellectual degradation. It could be simply the fact that that timer is clicking over there, and on the radio, dead air is something that doesn't communicate well, and so there's a pressure to keep the flow of thought going, and so you will hear me say little things like that I just did right there. It's because there's there's something that's got to continue to flow, and God wants us to have the right attitude in our heart. And Solomon, as he is praying to God, as God appears to him in the dream, and says to Solomon, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon says, I want to thank you for my father. I want to thank you for what you did in his life. I want to thank you that he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And he goes on and he says, I need you to give me an understanding heart to judge your people. And so there is that generational impact that righteousness has. So here we are, we're now into February, and as we are going through this year, I'm challenging our congregation to step up in their relationship with Jesus. You know, whether it's in the area of devotion, or whether it's in the area of studying the Word, there's a lot of different areas that we are going to be talking about. But the reason that we do that is because it makes generational impact. Solomon benefited from David's relationship with God. Unfortunately, Rehoboam did not benefit as greatly as he could have from Solomon's relationship with God. And so as we partner seeking truth and seeking righteousness, we are going to realize that it is a matter of the heart, a matter of intentions, a matter of lifestyle, and that it's done in the presence of God. It is done accompanied by God, but it also has impact on other generations. Let's turn over to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, and we are going to look at verse number 1. It says, this is a psalm of David. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" Oops, that's Psalm 13. Talk about a mistake. there's a mistake right there. Psalm 15 is still a psalm of David. "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved." The goal of this psalm was to say, God, I want to dwell in your presence. I want to abide in your tabernacle. Who gets to live in your house? In modern America, we think because we are breathing, we get to go to heaven. I want you to understand that that's not the way you get to heaven. The only way that you get there is to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. You don't get there because of your ethnic background. You do not get there because of your socioeconomic status. You do not get there because of your name. You do not get there because of the office or the power or the authority or the fame, the celebrity status that you carry here on earth. None of that carries any weight in the presence of God. And so David says, who gets to dwell in your house? And the answer is, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. So our works reflect the righteousness that comes from a truthful heart. In other words, not only does what's going on in your heart impact the words that you speak, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but also the truth that is residing in your heart is manifested in the works of righteousness that you do. It manifests in your lifestyle. You walk uprightly. You work righteousness. Not that you work to gain righteousness, but you allow the righteousness of God to manifest in what you do. Okay? So you don't work to earn righteousness. Righteousness simply says, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do. It is the thing that God would have me to do. So that's very, very important. We're going to turn over a few pages. I told you we weren't going to spend, you know, a long period of time on these because we've already gone through many of these. And in Psalm 19, verse number 7 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. If you will allow me, there's a pattern in these verses. And it says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The soul would be your life, your mind, your will, your emotions. And so I want to encourage you to avail yourself of the law of the Lord. Don't argue with it. I had an incident when I was late teens or early 20s. My mother and father had a paper route that covered 52 miles morning and evening back in those days. For some of you who are a little younger, newspapers used to be delivered pre-internet days, be delivered to people's houses. There are still a few newspapers out there, but mostly now people get their news instantaneously. Everything with a newspaper was news that had happened, you know, in the past day or so, or whenever news trickled in. And so you would look at the sports page to find out, okay, who won the baseball game last night? Who won the football game last night? You would find out after the fact, and sometimes there would be local stories. And so we were delivering the papers, and because it was my mother and father's paper out, that meant that the whole family was involved. And so we had divided up into two or three cars, and we'd go in different directions, and it would shorten the time. It didn't take nearly as long that way. And I was delivering in a subdivision. I had a 1974 Firebird. So I'm going to say that I was probably early 20s because I know when I had that. And I was pretty good as a newspaper carrier. You got the papers in bundles of 50 or however thick, you know, you could carry. Sunday papers, it was many more bundles than what it was on an average day. But you could pull them up from the back, you could bring them up front, you could open them up, and you could fold them as you were driving down the road and throwing them out. And I was going down this hill. I didn't even have my foot on the accelerator, and the next thing I know is I'm getting pulled over by a police officer, and he said, do you know how fast you were going? And I was like, no, I wasn't really paying attention, but I didn't even have my foot on the accelerator. And it was at the bottom of a hill. And he said, well, the speed limit here is 15. You were going 25. And it's like, I'm sorry. I didn't know that my car was such a high-performance vehicle. And I'm pretty sure he let me off with just a warning that day. I mean, way out in the sticks. Why they were monitoring speed out there, I have no idea. But anyway, it was the law of the Lord. So you know what? Every time I come to that place after that, I made sure that I wasn't going to be speeding. I made sure that I was going to do what is right. The correction of that police officer manifest in the way it changed my driving habits. Well, the Word of God wants to change not only our driving habits, not only our banking habits or our speaking habits, it wants to change our eternity. So the law of the Lord, every time we open it, there ought to be something in our life that is converted, something in our life that is changed. A lot of people love change. They just love it for other people. A lot of elderly people, they don't like change at all unless you're going to give them a brand new car, and then they love change. If you're going to give them a new piece of furniture, they might not like that, but I mean, they like the technology and the upgrades. I'm only talking about that from family experience there. We like to control the change. Well, the law of God is not change in us because it's what we want, and we just have these glorious, perfect desires. The law of the Lord comes in and says, I need to change you because you're out of alignment with the Word of God. So, let's go on. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I didn't graduate from a prestigious school. You might not have come from a grand and glorious background. In fact, I'm thinking about it as I make that statement, and there's a classmate of mine, and I don't remember what the conversation was that started this, but his comment was, just tell him which high school you graduated from, and that will explain a whole lot of things he graduated from the same high school I graduated from. And I just want to encourage you that the testimony of the Lord can make you wise no matter where you came from in the educational spectrum or the geographical spectrum. Wherever you came from, you might not have come from a church background. You may have come from a background of being a professional sinner. Hey, all of us were sinners. And I tell you what, apart from Christ, we would all be capable of doing horrific, horrific things. And so the testimonies of God are designed to transform us and to make us wise. The verse number 8 says this, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So when you are challenged by the Word and it's converting your soul and it's making you wiser than you've ever been, it's also designed to bring joy into your heart and into your life. A lot of people have the mindset, I don't want to read the Word of God because to whom much is given, much is required. I don't want much to be required of me. And they don't realize that they are depriving themselves of the joy of the Lord, the joy of Jesus being our Lord. And they don't realize that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you want greater joy in your life and less misery in your life, then read, follow, understand, and live the statutes of God. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. It enlightens the eyes. There was a gentleman who started... Promise Keepers years and years ago. He was a football coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. I believe his name was Bill McCartney, and he was a great football coach. But he didn't have a perfect background. He, even though he was married, he was a flawed man. And he went to church one day, and the speaker at the church said, gentlemen, if you want to know how you are doing as a husband and as a father, I want you to take just a moment and I want you to look into your wife's eyes and just ask yourself, what do you see when you look into their eyes? Well, he looked into his wife's eyes, and I mean, that's kind of awkward. You know, we're in a society now where people don't like to make eye contact. You know, you get into an elevator and everybody starts looking at the floor and counting the dots in the ceiling tiles and, you know, doing neck exercises and all of that sort of stuff. Just so you don't have to look into somebody. He looked into his wife's eyes, and what he saw was a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and not a lot of joy and not a lot of peace. And the speaker said, what you just saw was how well you're doing as a man, as a husband, and as a father. And that was what changed him and caused the birth of the Promise Keepers movement. I want to ask you, how long has it been since you understood that when God commands you to do something, he's doing it with a pure motive, and he's doing it to put that sparkle in your eye? We really are going to get to truth and righteousness, but I just felt like God wanted us to spend some time here in this passage today. It's been nearly 2 years that we've been going through this COVID pandemic, a lot of social isolation, a lot of financial challenges. People weren't able to go to work. There's been a lot of people who were sick, a lot of loss of loved ones and things like that. And today, I want to just ask you, would you allow God to breathe change into your soul? Would you allow the Word of God to impart wisdom to you? And if so, I want to challenge you as you continue in your journey that the law, the statutes of God, they're going to cause your life to be filled with rejoicing. And if you will see the purity, the golden desires of God, that what he wants to do is brighten your eyes. I saw a picture of someone, didn't know him, saw him, but the only thing I said is, wow, do they have bright eyes. I want you to have bright eyes for Jesus. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Praise the mother, open skies, everything breathing, praising God. In the company of all who love the King, I will dance, I will sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud, lift my voice and shout. From where I am, from where I've been, he's been there with me. He's built a monument, his very people. So let his people sing, sing, sing.